Yahweh, Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol mechudecha, ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol mechudecha. Your soul and with all of your mind,
and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments and the whole law, love your neighbor, love your God, they are hearts. Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol mechudecha.
Is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Elohim. Echad Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed.
Hear, O Israel, Yehovah our Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha u'v'kol nafshecha u'v'kol me'udecha. And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. It's great to see you. We'd like to welcome all those watching live stream as well, especially Kathy in California, Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad Tobago, Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, to Victoria in Qatar, Kathleen in Kentucky, and also to Michael and his family in Florida. In Australia, welcome to Heather in Perth, and South Australia, Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan and Betty in Adelaide, Katrina in Port Pirie, to Lucia in Victoria, Ivan and Lucas in Victoria, to Linda and Leah and family in Bega, Jan in Sydney, also to Kerry and David in Tamworth, Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino, to Ivy, Rachel, Malachi, Micah, Gabriel and Zambia in Balamble, Queensland, we've got Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia, and Emma in Gladstone, Steve in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at in Kalanga, Carol and Nick in Brisbane. Welcome to Harry in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, Usha and Isabel, Auntie and Jeremy, Jacob in Brisbane, Jeremy in Brisbane, Don in Canubia, welcome to you, Kelly and Bean Lee, Wendy and Peter in Logan, Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba, Tracy in Coomera. Not too sure whether the Robinsons are on their way or not. Don't know, so well, maybe they're watching online. So welcome to Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor and Faith and Gabriella at Coomera, Naomi at Oxenford, Beryl in Perth, Jeff at Southport, Marianne, Faye, Carol, Erica, Melissa, Lisa, Joy, Raywin here on the Gold Coast. So welcome to each and every one of you. So can we have the children now and we'll bless them. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives, they'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of Ahashalakim. Blessed are you, Yad of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless you, children. Well, the next Mishpachah family dinner will be held on Friday the 24th of December at Shab's place, and it'll be hosted by Raquel and Shab, so if you will be going, please let them know. Also, the next men's monthly dinner will be on the 4th of January. I'm not too sure you've got a venue, have you, Malachi?
Not at this stage, but where we've been going has been good, so we'll just see what happens.
They'll try there on the 4th and see what happens. So the ladies had a great morning tea on Thursday. Travelled from far and wide to get there, which was really great, at Cafe Catalina, which is on the waterfront, beautiful cool breeze coming through the whole time because it was a very warm day on Thursday morning. But Cafe Catalina will not take vax-free customers after the 17th, so we can't go back there. We have to source a new venue for next time, but we will let you know. The next date coming up for the ladies will be the 13th of January 2022. So if you keep that in your diaries, the 13th of January 2022, and we'll let you know the venue when we know. 10:30, same time. Now, Pastor John is not well. He's got a cold at the moment, so he needs your prayers, but all the children are well in Myanmar, which is really good, and apparently the shooting and the bombings have subsided around him because he hasn't mentioned them, so we're assuming they've subsided. Now, in the news there, the Queensland government has mandated the students 5 to 11 be jabbed from the 10th of January. And for those who have children in this system, we've supplied you with a form letter to your school against consent to this experimental or otherwise COVID injection treatment or vaccination. It's a long letter and it can be downloaded direct from our website. So if you go onto the website to download it to send that off, you're welcome to do that if you have children in the state system. I'm not too sure what's happening in the private system. So let us pray for Jehovah's people, Israel. Abba, we Father, we just thank you that you are Jehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to this day, no matter where they might be in diaspora or it's Israel. Abba, you have faithfully preserved your people, Israel, through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon, right through to this very day. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land this week. And Abba, we pray for your protection over all your people as these conflicts continue. We also thank you that you remember your covenant with your people. We know from your word, Nekeskael, that your people will live in the land you, but you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live there in complete security and safety. And we also know, Abba, that this applies to the people that into the lands where your people have been dispersed at this time. So we claim this word for them as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by terror in which they live daily, especially those in southern Israel, those in Myanmar, and those in the diaspora. And Abba, we just pray that you will be with them and you will help them overcome their fears and the reactions they have from the slightest noise. We also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they might be living. We know from your word that you want none to perish. We also know from your word, Yekeskael, that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we pray that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them. This is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you promised your servant Yaakov, that they will live there in complete safety and security. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we also pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not yours. We pray, Abba Father, that you will pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora. And we pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land. We ask that you break the power of Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives, and we break the power of the evil one who continue to work at wiping Israel off your map at this moment. But we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Kalamayo, Salagaing districts of Myanmar. Abba, we thank you that Pastor John and his family and all the orphans are safe at this time. We thank you for their continued praise and worship of you on Shabbat. And we pray, Abba Father, for you'll continue to protect their health and give them all the sustenance needs that they desire, be it food, fresh water, clothing, education, both spiritual and academic. Abba, you know their needs and their situation, as well as the situation in your country. We pray that normalcy will return to their country very soon, and we ask that you'll be with them to nurture and protect them, especially during this military lockdown. And Abba, we pray that no weapon formed against them, and please let them know that you are in complete control. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. I really think that calling of the Hanukkah celebration of the Orthodox and our Temple Shalom synagogues that was celebrated last week, and they're classing that as a hot spot, as an anti-Semitic attack. Purely and simply because we know that COVID was down, is in Rabina. It has been places in Rabina, in Coolangatta, in Broadbeach, but nothing about any place in Surface Paradise, except for the Hanukkah celebrations last Sunday night between 5 and 7pm. So I think that is an attack of the enemy, because there's no other reason why they would mention that venue, and it's only a light chance, so that there's no quarantining expected or anything like that, except you're supposed to get a COVID test to prove you're negative within a few days. But if you've got no symptoms, if you've been and you've got no symptoms, I hardly think that anything was there. I think it's just a spiritual attack and an anti-Semitic attack on Yah's people. So that's my personal thoughts. What you do with that information is up to you. This week we'll be studying from Parasha 11, Vayigash. He approached. We'll be reading the Torah from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 4, 18 to 47, 27. We'll be reading the prophets, or the Haftarah, from Yekeskel, Ezekiel chapter 37, 15 to 28. And the Ketuvah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles. We'll be reading Acts chapter 7, verses 9 to 16. So let us pray. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, aheh b'kah banu mikal ha'amin, v'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu ha'ol la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has chosen us above all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Parasha 11, Vavigash, he approached. Bereshit, Genesis 44, 18 to 47, 27. Then Yehuda approached Joseph and said, "Please, my lord, let your servant say something to you privately, and don't be angry with your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servants, 'Do you have a father or a brother?' We answered, 'My lord, we have a father who is an old man and a child of his old age, a little one whose brother is dead, so that of his mother's children he alone is left, and his father loves him. But you said to your servants, bring him down to me so that I can see him.' We answered, my Lord, the boy can't leave his father. If he were to leave his father would die. You said to your servants, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. We went up to your servant, my father, and told him what my Lord had said. But when our father said, go again and buy us some food, we answered, we can't go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us, we will go down, because we can't see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, surely he has been torn to pieces, and I haven't seen him since. Now if you take this one away from me too, and something happens to him, you will bring my grey hair down to Sheol with grief. So now if I go to your servant, my father, and the boy isn't with us, seeing how his heart is bound up with the boy's heart,
when he sees that the boy isn't with us, he will die, and your servants will bring the grey hair of your servant and father down to Sheol with grief. For your servant himself guaranteed his safety, I said, if I fail to bring him to you, then I will bear the blame before my father forever. Therefore, I beg you, let your servant stay as a slave to my lord instead of the boy, and let the boy go up with his brothers, for how can I go to my father if the boy isn't with me? I couldn't bear to see my father so overwhelmed with anguish. At last, Joseph could no longer control his feelings in front of his attendants and cried, everyone get away from me. So no one else was with him when Joseph revealed to his brothers who he was. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard and Pharaoh's household heard. Joseph's brother said to him, I'm Joseph. Is it true that my father is still alive? His brothers couldn't answer him. They were so dumbfounded at seeing him. Joseph said to his brothers, please, come closer. And they came closer. He said, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt.
But don't be sad that you sold me into slavery here and angry at yourself, because it was Elohim who sent me ahead of you to preserve life. The famine has been over the land for the last 2 years, and for yet another 5 years there will be neither plowing nor harvest. Elohim sent me ahead of you to ensure that you will have descendants on earth and to save your lives in a great deliverance. So it was not you who sent me here, but Elohim, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his household and ruler over the whole land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and tell him, here is what your son Joseph says. Elohim has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You will live in the land of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, your grandchildren, flocks, herd, everything you own. I will provide for you there so that you won't become poverty stricken, you, your household, and all that you have, because 5 years of famine are yet to come. Here your own eyes and see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my own mouth speaking to you. Tell my father how honored I am in Egypt and everything you have seen, and quickly bring my father down here. Then he embraced his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept on them. After that, his brothers talked with him. The report of this reached Pharaoh's house. Joseph's brothers have come, and Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, Tell your brothers, here is what you are to do. Load up your animals, go to the land of Canaan, take your father and your families and come back to me. I will give you good property in Egypt and you will eat the fat of the land.
Moreover, and do this as an order. Do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Don't worry about your stuff, because everything good in the land of Egypt is yours. The sons of Israel acted accordingly, and Yosef gave them wagons, as Pharaoh had ordered, and gave them provisions of their journey. To each of them he gave a set of new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 7.5 pounds of silver and 5 sets of new clothes. Likewise to his father, he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the finest goods of Egypt produced, as well as 10 female goats loaded with grain, bread and food for his father to eat on the return journey. Thus he sent his brothers on their way, and they left, said to them, "Don't quarrel among yourselves while you are traveling." So they went out of Egypt, returned the land of Canaan, and came to Yaakov their father. They told him, "Yosef is still alive. He is a ruler over the whole land of Egypt." He was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe them. So they reported to him everything Yosef had said to them. But it was only when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry them that the spirit of Yaakov their father began to receive.
Israel said, "Enough, my son Yosef is still alive. I must go and see him before I die." Israel took everything he owned with him on his journey. He arrived at Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the Elohim of his father, Yitzhak. In a vision at night, Elohim called to Israel, "Yaakov, Yaakov," he answered, "Here I am." He said, "I am Elohim, the Elohim of your father. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. It is there that I will make you into a great nation. Not only will I go down with you to Egypt, but I will also bring you back here again after Yosef has closed your eyes." So Yaakov left Beersheba. The sons of Israel brought Yaakov, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons Pharaoh had sent to carry them. They took the cattle and their possessions, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and arrived in Egypt, Yaakov and all his descendants with him, his sons, grandsons, daughters, granddaughters, and all his descendants he brought with him into Egypt. These are the names of Israel's children who came into Egypt: Yaakov and his sons, Reuben, Yaakov's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hetzron, and Carmi. The sons of Shimon, Yumuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yachin, Zachar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kat, and Merari. The sons of Yehuda, Onan, Shelah, Peratz, and Zerach. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Peratz were Hetzron and Hamul. The sons of Yisachar, Tola, Puva, Yov, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Yachalel. These were the children of Leah, whom she bore to Yaakov in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. In sum, his sons and daughters numbered 33. The sons of Gad, Siphion, Hagi, Shuni, Etzbon, Eri, Arodi, and Areli. The children of Asher, Yimna, Yishva, Yishvi, Beriah, and their sister Sarach. The sons of Beriah were Hever and Malkiel. These are the children of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter. She bore them to Yaakov, 16 people. The sons of Rachel, Yaakov's wife, Yosef and Binyamin. To Yosef in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Osnat, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Binyamin, Bela, Bacher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Achi, Rosh, Mupin, Hupin, and Ard. These are the children of Rachel, who were born to Yaakov in sum, 14 people. The sons of Dan, Hushim, the sons of Naphtali, Yaxael, Guni, Yitzur, and Shilam. These were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter. She bore them to Yaakov in sum, 7 people. All the people belonging to Yaakov, coming into Egypt, his direct descendants, totaled 66. The sons of Yosef, born to him in Egypt, were 2 in number. Thus, all the people in Yaakov's family who entered Egypt numbered 70.
Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead of him to Yosef, so that the latter might guide him on the road to Goshen. Thus they arrived in the land of Goshen, and Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet Israel, his father. He presented himself to him, embraced him, and wept on his neck for a long time. Then Israel said to Yosef, "Now I can die, because I have seen your face and seen that you are still alive." Yosef said to his brothers and his father's family, "I'm going up to tell Paro. I'll say to him, 'My brothers and my father's family, who were in the land of Canaan, have come to me.' The men and all their possessions. Tell him, 'Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth until now, both we and our ancestors. This will ensure that you will live in the land of Goshen, for any shepherd is abhorrent to the Egyptians.' Then Yosef went in and told Paro, 'My father and brothers have come from the land of Canaan with their flocks, livestock, and all their possessions. Right now they are in the land of Goshen.' He took 5 of his brothers and presented them for Paro. Paro said to his brothers, 'What is your occupation?' They answered Paro, 'Your servants are shepherds, both we and our ancestors.' And added, 'We have come to live in the land because the land of Canaan, there is no place to pasture your servants' flocks. The famine is so severe there, therefore please let your servants live in the land of Goshen.' Paro said to Yosef, 'Your father and brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt lies before you. Have your father and brothers live in the best property in the country. Let them live in the land of Goshen. Moreover, if you know that some of them are particularly competent, put them in charge of my livestock.' Yosef then brought in Yaakov, his father, and presented him to Paro. And Yaakov blessed Paro. And Paro asked Yaakov, 'How old are you?' And Yaakov replied, 'The time of my stay on this earth has been 130 years. They have been few and difficult, fewer than the years of my ancestors lived.' Then Yaakov blessed Paro and left his presence."
Yosef found a place for his father and brothers and gave them property in the land of Egypt, in the best region of the country, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had ordered. Yosef provided food for his father, his brothers, and all his father's household, taking full care of even the youngest. There was no food anywhere, for the famine was very severe, so that both Egypt and Canaan grew weak from hunger. Yosef collected all the money that was there in Egypt and Canaan in exchange for the grain they had bought, and put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. When all the money in Egypt had been spent, and likewise in Canaan, all the Egyptians approached Yosef and said, 'Give us something to eat, even though we have no money. Why should we die before your eyes?' Yosef replied, 'Give me your livestock, if you don't have money. I will give you food in exchange for your livestock.' So they brought Yosef their livestock, and Yosef gave them food in exchange for their horses, flocks, cattle, and donkeys. All that year he provided them with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they approached Yosef again and said to him, "We won't hide from my lord that all our money is spent, and the herds of our livestock belong to my lord. We have nothing left, as my lord can see, but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we and our land will be enslaved to Pharaoh, but also give us seed to plant, so that we can stay alive and not die, and so that the land won't become barren." So Yosef acquired all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh, as one by when the Egyptians sold their fields because the famine weighed on them so severely. Thus the land became property of Pharaoh. As for the people, he reduced them to serfdom, city by city, from one end of Egypt's territory to the other. Only the priests' land did he not acquire, because the priests were entitled to provisions from Pharaoh, and they ate from what Pharaoh provided them. Therefore they did not sell their land. When Yosef said to the people, "As of today I have acquired you and your land for Pharaoh, here is seed for you to sow in the land. When harvest time comes, you are to give 20% to Pharaoh. 80% will be yours to keep for seed to plant in the fields, as well as for your food and for that of your households and your little ones."
They replied, "You have saved our lives, so if it pleases my lord, we will be Pharaoh's slaves. Yosef made it a law for the country of Egypt, valid to this day, that Pharaoh should have 20%. Only the property belonging to the priest did not become Pharaoh's. Israel lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. They acquired possessions in it and were productive, and their numbers multiplied greatly." Haftorah, Vayigash, Ezekiel 37:15-28. The word of Yehovah came to me, "You, human being, take one stick and write on it for Yehuda and those joined to him from the people of Israel. Next take another stick and write on it for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel who were joined with him. Finally bring them together into a single stick, so they become one in your hand. When your people ask you what all this means, tell them that Yehovah Elohim says this: I will take the stick of Yosef, which is in the hand of Ephraim, together with the tribes of Israel, who are joined with him, and put them together with the stick of Yehuda, and make them a single stick, so that they become one in my hand. The sticks on which you write are to be in your hand as they watch. Then say to them that Yehovah Elohim says, I will take the people of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and gather them from every side and bring them back to their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king for all of them. They will no longer be two nations, and they will never again be divided into two kingdoms. They will never again defile themselves. And I will cleanse them, so that they will be my people, and I will be their Elohim. My servant David will be king over them, and all of them will have one shepherd. They will live by my rulings and keep and observe my regulations. They will live in the land I gave to Yaakov my servant, where your ancestors lived. They will live there, they, their children, and their grandchildren forever. And David my servant will be their leader forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant I will give to them, increase their numbers, and set my sanctuary among them forever. My people will be with them. My home will be with them. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. The nations will know that I am Yehovah, who sets Israel apart as holy, when my sanctuary is with them forever.
Acts 7:13-15. The second time Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, and Yosef's family became known to Pharaoh. Yosef then sent for his father Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 people, and Yaakov went down to Egypt. There he died, as did our other relatives.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Hashem Natan Anu Torah Amet V'Hayolam B'Tikenu. Baruch Atah Yehovah Natan HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu HaOla Olam Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. It's always quite emotional when you hear that Yosef speaking to his brothers for the first time and then seeing his father. So my message today is based on that. And before I get into the message, let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word today that you have given me to give to the people. And I pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see the wonder strings from your Torah of this day, that we can put them into perspective as to what is happening in our world today, and that you can be with us and show us that you, Abba Father, are our rock and you are our Redeemer. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. What happened then? Didn't open. So, my message is titled, The Wagons Are On The Way. And that's taken out of our reading today from Bereshit 45:16-28. So it says, the report of this reached Pharaoh's house. Yosef's brothers had come. Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. Pharaoh said to Yosef, tell your brothers, here is what you are to do. Load your animals, go to the land of Canaan, take your father and your families and come back to me. I will give you good property in Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Moreover, this is an order. Do this. Take the wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Don't worry about your stuff, because everything good in the land of Egypt is yours. So the sons of Israel acted accordingly, and Yosef gave them wagons as Pharaoh had ordered, and gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave a set of new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 7.5 pounds of silver and 5 sets of new clothes. Likewise to his father he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the finest goods Egypt produced, as well as 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread and food for his father to eat on the return journey. Thus he sent his brothers on their way, and they left. And he said to them, don't quarrel among yourselves while you're travelling. So they went up to Egypt, entered the land of Canaan, and came to Yaakov their father. They told him, Yosef is still alive. He is ruler over the whole land of Egypt. He was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. So they reported to him everything Yosef had said to them. It was only when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry him that the spirit of the Ruach of Yaakov, their father, began to revive. Israel said, enough, my son, Yosef is still alive. I must go and see him before I die. That, to me, is just so overwhelming that he thought he'd lost his son and he was gone for good. But not only that, Yaakov had spent many years thinking that Yosef was dead. So Yaakov had a predisposition for doubt. And this was caused by all the voices of the past. This disposition is in each of one of us. If we are told something positive about ourselves 100 times, we just take it for granted. But if we are told one thing that's negative, we seem to hold on to it forever. It will raise its ugly head and tell us all sorts of things about ourselves that we don't believe, and doubt will always raise its ugly head. So if we look back over the background of Yaakov, we see that he had a tendency to believe bad news, and it started very early on in his life. His mother would tell him, "Your father loves Esav more than he loves you." His mother would tell him, "Esav is going to kill you." His mother would tell him, "Your father and brother are in a plot to leave you out of their inheritance." His uncle would tell him, "You have 7 more years before you get Rachel, but in the meantime, take Leah." Your uncle would tell him, "You are a conniving cheat, and I'm going to kill you." His wife would tell him, "You hate me. You have no time for me." His men would tell him, "Esav is waiting down the river to kill you." His sons would tell him, "We found this bloody coat." With Yaakov assuming the worst, the seed of doubt grew and implied that Yosef was dead at the paws of a wild animal. Have we heard all this before? Over the last few weeks, we've heard all of it, haven't we? All of these voices over the course of his life and over all the situations that Yaakov found himself in predisposed him for huge doses of doubt. Then we add into that the components of a hugely dysfunctional family. Yaakov, as a child, had 4 mothers. He didn't have 1 mother, he had 4. He lived in a tent full of boys that had dark markings on their character. There was the motivation of jealousy and constant conflict in the home. The planned murder by their brothers. All types of immorality that had been expected on the streets but not in the home were happening among the 12 brothers. I might be full of doubt and unable to believe any good news either if I had to live in that environment. But all the time, doubt works in small doses. But huge doses of doubt will overdose your spirit and kill your faith. And that's why Shaul gave us these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. He said, "For although we do not live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way, because the weapons we use to wage our war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have Elohim's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of Yehovah. We take every thought captive and make it obey the Messiah. And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience." It is crucial that our mind be protected from the strongholds of the enemy. Now, the enemy is attacking us left, right and centre at this very moment, just with what we hear in the mandates. It is with great certainty that there may be some of you who are dealing with voices that continue creeping out of the past. And these voices are literally suffocating the life out of you. The voices come from 1,000 different directions. Maybe it's a parent who did not love you, a guardian who was supposed to protect you but instead violated you, a close friend who may have broadcast your deepest secret, a boyfriend or a girlfriend who stole your innocence, a relative who destroyed your confidence in anyone that seemingly wanted to help you, an ex-husband or an ex-wife who totally betrayed you. These voices sometimes ring out to you and they come unprompted and unsolicited. They will shock and they will still hurt. But that is what the voices of doubt try to do. Voices of doubt might say, "You are worthless. I wish you had never been born. or what a loser you are. See, I told yourself, you can never do it right. Or you've never finished anything you've started. You are going to lose everything. You are just like your father, or you're just like your mother. I hope none of you say that to your children. It happens all of the time. If you listen to these sort of voices for too long, you will start believing them. They say that 90% of people in prison are there because they were told at one time that that is where they would end up one day. Then the subconscious goes to work, especially when you're asleep, to try and make it happen. That seemed to be the case for Yaakov. Every time he turned around, something was trying to drag him down. But I have a remedy for those voices and sometimes roll around in your head. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. For Elohim gave us a ruach, or a spirit, that produces not timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. We have to start remembering his word. In Micah chapter 3, verse 8, it says, on the other hand, I am full of power by the ruach of Yehovah, full of justice and full of might, to declare to Yaakov his crime, to Israel his sin. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, then he answered me, this is the word of Yehovah to Zerubbabel, not by force and not by power, but by my ruach, or spirit, says Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, remember, I have given you, that is each and every one of you sitting here in this room, everyone listening online, I have given you authority so that you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. This is where we are at the present time. We are fighting the forces of the enemy, that is our tyrannical government. Not just the state, but the federal government is complicit in all of this as well. There are times in your life that you will be needed to do a little preaching to yourself. And there is no better way to do it than by going to the scriptures and speaking them out and preaching to yourself through Yehovah's word. Well, the first thing I want to do is to define doubt. Doubt is truth that is half-dressed, half-hearted, and half-filled. Doubt is simply the truth that's been twisted, deformed, and is walking backwards. Doubt always emanates from its father, the devil, or Hasatan. So you need to remember what Yeshua said about doubt. And it was said in Yochanan chapter 8, verses 44 to 45. Yeshua said, you belong to your father, Satan, or the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. From the start, he was a murderer. He has never stood by the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is speaking in character, because he is a liar. Indeed, he is the inventor of the lie. But as for me, because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. These are Yeshua's words, and this is what we have to stand on. The prevailing thing that can overcome doubt are the words, or is the words, of Yeshua. In Yochanan John 14 and verse 6, it says, Yeshua said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We have Yeshua in our life. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to us in this world. We have Yeshua. We know where we're going. we know who we're going to be with. Now, my heart breaks for the woman who tried to burn herself just yesterday in Melbourne because she couldn't cope. For the families that are not coping in any way because they don't see a hope. For the people that are vaxxed or getting vaxxed and saying, I want to go with all the rest, I don't want to be left behind. They don't understand. They don't understand. Being left behind to be with Yeshua, not a problem. But they want to go with the vaxxed. The good is too good. The first thing that caused Yaakov to doubt was all the voices of the past. The second thing that he struggled with was believing the good news. It was just too good to be true. In Bereshit 45:26 it says, they told him, Yosef is still alive. He is ruler over the whole land of Egypt. He was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. It was too good to be true. Yaakov's belief was that Yosef was dead, had literally eaten into his spirit in such a way that he could not receive the good news. There are some who hug and coddle their despair for so long that they cannot give it up. We have to let it go. The good news was just too good to be true. It isn't too odd how they doubt will extinguish the fire of your spirit. The adversary is aware of this, and doubt is the one of the most effective, one of his most effective tools. And this is why I always say, in so many situations, if in doubt, leave it out. Don't go there. Don't entertain it. Leave it out completely if there is any doubt. Doubt can only come from the adversary and can only lead you into destruction if you follow the path of doubt. It's amazing the number of D words that can be connected to Hasatan. And inside the English word of devil, if we take the D out, what do we have? Evil. E-V-I-L. Nothing good comes from evil. Overwhelming circumstances become such dictators to our faith. So let us have a look at a few. I'll not give you the scriptures for these because you all know them so many times and it's just not necessary. When Martha said, Adonai, he has been dead for 4 days, speaking of her brother. They told Jairus, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter is already dead. Kepha said, but Yeshua, we fished all night long and we haven't caught a thing. Yeshua just said, try the other side of the boat. The Talmud said to Yeshua, this huge crowd, Rabbi, send them away. All we have is a little bread and a few fish. And the widow told Elisha, the creditor is on the way and I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. We know what happened to each and every one of those people. Each of them were rescued. Each of them were healed or raised from the dead. Everyone was fed. And the fish just about sank the boat. But there are a hardy few, who refuse to let their overwhelming circumstances become a dictator to their faith. 7 times Yeshua healed on the Shabbat. He did not let the mundane override the miraculous. Sometimes we need to ignore the protocol to get the prophetic. One man said to Yeshua, if you will just speak, no need to go to the needy, just speak and my servant will be healed. Sometimes you will have to absent yourself from the need to get a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and was healed. Sometimes you have to be willing to be buffeted to get the blessing. The Syrophoenician woman just wanted a crumb of blessing and healing for her daughter. Sometimes we have to be willing to get insulted to get what you need from Yehovah. Bartimaeus was healed because he did not let the crowd stifle his worship. And sometimes you have to worship through the blindness to get the blessing. Sometimes there won't be perfect surroundings to get the miracle. You have to work with what you have to get it. There are some men who peeled back a roof to get a healing. Sometimes you have to be willing to tear some things up to get your needs met. To this day, Adonai Yeshua can still save. He can still deliver. He can still heal. Here are some things to feed doubt when it attacks. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Yeshua has the authority in heaven and on earth to this very day. It's never been taken back. In Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are struggling and are burdened, and I will give you rest. I know that is hard, but if you lay those struggles and those burdens on him and talk to him as your loving father, he will hear you." It Matthew 16 and verse 18 says, "I also tell you this, you are Kepha, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it." There is nothing that man can do to us to take what we've been given from Yeshua to us. In Acts chapter 1 verse 11, the men said, "You Galileans, why are you standing staring into space? This Yeshua has been taken away from you into heaven and will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him go into heaven." In Daniel 7:13-14, "I kept watching the night visions, and when I saw coming with the clouds of heaven someone like the Son of Man, he approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. To him was given rulership, glory and a kingdom, so that all peoples," not a few peoples, all peoples, "nations, languages should serve him. His rulership is an eternal rulership that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Scriptures clearly indicate to us that if Yehovah has a plan, it will come to pass regardless of the obstacles or the doubt that stand before you or stand before me. Then we have the wagons from another country. One of the things that will stop our faith is fear. The CCP virus from China, the D variant from India, now the Omicron from South Africa, causes our government to place fear into the psyche of every citizen to take the jab, when it is a lie from the pit of hell. Mandating different areas in the community to take it or lose your job, more fear, and now the TGA has approved the jab for 5 to 11 year olds who have a 99.999% chance of recovery if they get it. In fact, the latest news from the epidemiologists is that if you get the Omicron version, which is very mild, with slight symptoms only, you will have antibodies to protect you for the rest of your life. Yet they fear monger you and tell you to take something into your bodies that will lower your immune system, leading to an early death. Yes, we will suffer for not taking the jab. Many in the congregation already are. But stand firm. There is no way that Yah wants you to take it. He wants you to trust him. Many of us already have seen loved ones suffer from its effects. I have seen more loved ones suffer the effects of the jab and have never met one person with COVID. That to me is heart-wrenching. Yah does have a plan. If we keep our bodies pure, our blood pure, I am sure he will use us even more because of our faith. Have you ever experienced that rude, gnawing fear that ate up your faith? When you begin to notice fear in its biblical context, there are situations or characteristics that seem to cater for the growth of fear. So let us look at a few scriptures that signify this statement. In Bereshit chapter 15, it says, some time later the word of Yehovah came to Avram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Avram. I am your protector. Your reward will be very great. Yehovah is our protector. We are no different to Avram. If Yah had said this to Avram, he will say it to us. Avraham had experienced a great victory in battle. Fear will present itself after a great victory. In Bereshit 32:11, it says, please rescue me from my brother Esav. I'm afraid of him, afraid he'll come and attack me without regard for mothers or children. Yaakov is about to face his brother for the first time after 20 years has passed. Fear presents itself when you're facing potential conflict. And in Bereshit 35:17, while she was undergoing hard labour, the midwife said to her, don't worry, this is also a son for you. Raquel is encouraged not to give in to fear as Benjamin is being born. Fear will present itself when you are birthing something great in your life. Sometimes that is going to outlive you, whatever it is that you are birthing. Yes, Raquel died, but Yaakov had previously spoken that whoever had taken Laban's idols must die. Do you remember that? Which we read in the scriptures 2 weeks ago. Yehovah allowed Raquel's death to happen because of her sin and her covering it up, which is lying and not admitting that she had them. She sat on her camel and on top of the idols when Laban looks for them. So it was expected that Raquel would die because Yaakov had professed those words. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moshe answered the people, stop being fearful. Remain steady and you will see how Yehovah is going to save you. He will do it today. Today you have seen the Egyptians, but you will never see them again. Moshe told the children of Israel not to fear at the Sea of Suf. The Egyptians were pursuing them from behind. They were going to destroy them, and the Sea of Suf was in front of them. Fear will present itself when you are about to cross over into Yah's greater purpose for your life. Fear, as you all know, I've said it time and time again, is false evidence appearing real, although it can feel very real to us at the time. We just have to let our faith rise up and trust in Yah to overcome the fear. Shemot chapter 20, verse 20. Moshe answered the people, "Don't be afraid, because Elohim has come only to test you and make you fear him, so that you won't commit sins." Again, Moshe instructs the children of Israel not to fear. Fear will present itself when Yah is about to test, or in some versions, prove you. Maybe what we are going through at the moment is a test. Are we going to be like some people and cave and take that jab? Or are we going to stand firm and we're going to allow Yah to see if we can stand by him and trust him for what is about to happen in the future? I really believe that this is a test. In Yehoshua, Joshua chapter 10 verse 8, Yehovah said to Yehoshua, "Don't be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of their men will stand against you." If he can do it for Yehoshua, he can do it for us. Yehoshua summons the people to not fear the Emori who are gathering against them. Fear will present itself when you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances. And in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to bring you back again into fear. On the contrary, you received the Ruach, the Spirit, who makes us sons, and by whose power we cry out, Abba, that is, dear Father." Shaul mentions a spirit of bondage that will create fear. It is not the will of Yah for a believer to be struck with a constant state of fear in their lives. But the wagons are on their way. In Bereshit 45:21 today, we read, "The sons of Israel acted accordingly, and Yosef gave them wagons as Paro had ordered, and gave them provisions for their journey." If the wagons had not been sent, Yaakov and all his family could never have crossed the wilderness and the desert to go to the palace. Yosef knew exactly what to pack to sustain them. These men for the journey they were going to take, for their desert experience. Many of us could be in a desert experience at this very moment. Even if Yaakov did not buy into the words of the messengers, when he saw the wagons, he could believe that Yosef was alive. It was the wagons that convinced him. The first sign of Yosef was a bloody coat, and it fooled Yaakov. The second sign of Yosef was wagons full of goods, and it encouraged him. The first sign rattled Yaakov. The second sign restored him. How the enemy would love for you to stop short at the first sign. The first sign of trouble can paralyze you, but the second sign of blessing can redeem you. The first sign of doubt can cripple you, but the second sign of blessing can anoint you. The first sign of disaster can suffocate you, but the second sign of blessing can exalt you. The first sign of difficulty can ruin you, but the second sign of provision can breathe life into your being. I'm sure that there are many people listening to my words at the moment can verify what I am saying. If we are obedient to Yehovah and his Torah, the blessings will come. I suppose I'm proof of that. I've been witnessing it for many, many years. You can stop at the first sign, but you have to look for the second sign. Persistent faith will not be defeated by what it can see, because we walk by faith and not by sight. The reason that Yaakov doubted the message was because he doubted the messengers. The sight of Yosef's wagons convinced him. There are accounts of this sort of thing in the miracles. Adonai Yeshua, help my unbelief. How many times have we said that? Yosef did not give his brothers what they deserved. This is what the way in how it works with Yah as well. We get from him far more than we ever deserve. Then we read, the wagons are loaded. They're not just coming, they're loaded. Not only are the wagons on their way, they are loaded, full of goodies. In Bereshit 45:23, says, likewise to his father, he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the finest goods Egypt produced, as well as 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father to eat on the return journey. Can you imagine what it must have been like for old Yaakov? Now, he's 130 years old at this stage. His country has been starving under the wretched hand of the famine. There has been zero growth of crops, has not rained in ages, and the land is stifling hot. It's in the hottest part of the day, and the heat and the silence are prevailing across the land. Egypt during that time was at the height of civilization. The construction of Pharaoh had brought great notoriety to the land. His kingdom had been wildly successful, and the tributes had come in. India had sent on ships and barges its rich frankincense, sharp cinnamon, gleaming diamonds and ivory treasures. Syria sent its luxuries of purple and silk. And Greece had corralled its finest horses in the world and sent them to Egypt. So when Yosef determined to send the wagons back to his father, nothing was spared. He loaded them with corn. He packed the wagons with bread. He added meat to the wagons. He made arrangements for clothing to be carried. Wagon after wagon rolled out of the palace grounds of Egypt. They were heading out on a rescue mission. Let me assure you, the enemy cannot stop the saving relief of Yehovah. He is in control. The wagons are going to take you to the palace. I don't know whether this palace is going to be on earth or it's going to be in heaven, but I know that they are taking us to the palace. In Bereshit, Genesis 45:27-28, it says, so they reported to him everything Yosef had said to them. But it was only when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent to carry him that the spirit of Yaakov, their father, began to revive. Israel said, enough. My son Yosef is still alive. I must go and see him before I die. Yaakov had spent years grieving his son, whom he believed to have been killed by a wild animal. When he heard the words that Yosef was alive, when he saw the wagons of relief, his whole demeanor changed and his spirit revived. Sometimes more than anything, that is what we need when we get into the house of Yah. We need to see his mighty works and his excellent greatness. Then our spirits are revived. I try and do that with my messages to help you see what Yah can do for you. The wagons were on the way. They were loaded. But that was not all. The wagons are going to take them to the palace. Just as these wagons were coming back from the palace, they were going to take Yaakov and his family back to the palace. These wagons were not just a one-time deposit. These wagons would not allow their resources to dwindle down to nothing and leave them in the famine. These wagons were not just bringing relief, but they were also there to rescue. Another consideration with these wagons was that they weren't just bringing good things, but they were also bringing good news. That is a magnificent thing about the way Yehovah works. Not only will he bring relief in your situation, he is going to pull you out of it and take you out of your famine-ridden land to the palace. Let me conclude with the promises of Yah. I have many books in my library, but there are two that I have that list all the promises of Yah for virtually every situation in life, together with the scriptures that go along with these promises. So they're literally loaded with promises of what Yah can do for you if only you trust in Him. He will do it. Can I ask of you, give Yah time. Even when the knife is flashing in the air, you will see the ram in the bushes. You just have to give Him time. Give Yah time, even when Pharaoh's armies are on Israel's heels. A path through the water will suddenly be opened up. We don't know what that path is at this stage, but I believe it will be opened up. Give Yah time. Even when the bed of the brooks is dry, Eliyahu will hear a guiding voice. Have you listened to the small, still voice of Yah? Take time each day to listen to what He wants to say to you. You must give Yah time. The wagons are on the way. He will provide a way out for you no matter what your circumstances, and I know that they are very dire for some at this very moment. But please, just give Yah time. I do believe with all my heart that Yah hears our prayers. He knows your situation. He knows everyone's situation. Remember Eov or Job, who lost everything, his children, everything. And it was all restored to him 3 times more than he had previously. We don't know what Yah has in store for us in the future. We just need to trust Him. We have to keep standing on His word and believe that the wagons are on the way to rescue us from this tyrannical government and its mandates at this time. We know what is happening is criminal, but we need to stand firm in our faith. Nobody or anything can rob us of that. It is our faith. Your faith is your faith. My faith is my faith. No one can take it away from you unless you allow them to. We may not see it at the moment, but be assured the wagons are coming and Yehovah is in control. Are there any questions? Come on over.
So Raquel, when she sat on the idols and she committed that sin, and she obviously didn't repent.
No,
okay.
She didn't repent.
Yeah. So she died without repenting.
Yep.
So that means she has no opportunity to repent when she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore she goes where the Lord puts
That's right. And you notice that she wasn't buried in the Machpelah cave. She was buried at Beit Lechem. She didn't go with the rest of the family.
Mm.
Into the Machpelah cave.
Mm. So sin draws us to the death and the everlasting death as well.
That's right.
And that goes for everybody.
It goes for everyone.
That's all I just want to make that point.
Simple lie.
Mm.
She sat on the idols and lied. I suppose lying is something I don't handle very well. I don't cope with lying at all. Even sins of omission to me are lying. Because, you know, and there's a consequence. Raquel is a very good example of it. Any other questions? We might move on to the remembrance service. Hear, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. See?
Become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Tzvaot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Amen. Amen.
Let the king answer, and then we go and take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yehovah Yeshua HaMashiach. HaKol Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaGafen.
King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Minei Besameim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
So ladies, can you please come and we'll hand out the emblems and the spot and smaller spices. Everything okay? Yeah. Philemon, can you help with the bread, darling? Can you help? Can you help? As you all know, the offering box is up the back, so if you could please donate, give a free will offering to Beit Gan Eden, that will be appreciated, because we try and give to the orphanage as much as we can. So I will, we can send some more money off to them. That will be great, and also help pay for all the bread and everything that we get each week in the rooms, so that will be excellent, because we know Yah loves a cheerful giver. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that you know the end from the beginning. We give you the glory that your Son Yeshua came down on this earth. He walked this earth. He healed. He gave us examples. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to trust. And Abba, he laid down his life. He had his body broken and his blood shed so that we could have eternal life and live eternally with him. We just thank you and praise you for these emblems that we have here today, for the provision of them. We ask that as we take them, that you will bless each person receiving these emblems, that you will bless them abundantly, you will remove all fear from them, and that you will give them a hope. Allow them to see, Abba Father, what you have in store for them. Allow them to hear your still small voice, so that there will be no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that they are in your kingdom and in your purpose. We take these emblems now in remembrance of everything Yeshua has done as we live our life for him and through you, through your Torah. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Malachi will now come and say the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I'll repeat it in English. Give me a bit of the mic.
Yevarekka, Yehovah Yishmerika, Ye'er Yehovah Panavaleka V'yekunika, Yisa Yehovah Panavaleka V'yasamaka Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. There's a wonderful message there with all that. That was wonderful. Thank you, babe. Pardon me.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah, does it. Well, he certainly does. And
he just gives me the words for the situation. I just got to go along with him.
There's parallels, of course, so many with Yosef and Yeshua in so many ways, and that when the word got to the father and it was explained that Jovis is alive and that he's ruler of the whole land, and yet he'd been, as far as his own father was concerned, he'd been dead all of that time. And the parallel that he's been dead and he's alive, that's just like unbelievable that he could be alive, but that he's the ruler of the whole land, not just of Egypt now. He is alive and he is the ruler of the whole earth. Eretz is the word, it means everything. It's the whole planet, and that was wonderful. And when the brothers were sent back to get the father, Yosef gave them a couple of instructions.
He knew them.
And it is applicable to them while they're on the way, even what Yeshua described himself. He is the way, and we are on the way, so to speak. And so Yosef said to his brothers,
no quarrelling.
Thank you, Tamar. Don't argue along the way. And the other one that he said to them too, he said, don't worry about your stuff. Everything in paradise where they were going to, effectively, it was this, and they're going to the palace, as Tamar so eloquently put it. Everything is going to be yours. Just don't worry about your stuff, because it's very easy to get worried about stuff or hang on to things that don't need to, or you might use it, or all of those sorts
Hoarder.
Of things. All that stuff. That's stuff. Don't worry about your stuff. And I thought that was such wise advice that just carries, must be pretty much eternal. Don't worry about your stuff. So I just wanted to share those couple of things with you all. Bless you and thank you for
now
being
before
with us.
We go, can I see all the board members out the front here before we pack up, please?
Very good. Okay.
Okay, that's all good. Board members out the front.
Bless you all. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov.
And thank you for being with us.
Yep.